This is an Audio Wool original.
Well, but Kelly.
Maybe don't run that.
I'm going to use that as pre-roll.
Teaching my girls to cross-stitch.
Great. Welcome to Behind the Screams.
Cross-stitching on the beach.
Okay. The show behind...
Gathering agates.
The show. I love an agate. And this week, we're here to discuss how I've been dead this whole time. And that we've been broadcasting not from the Montana wilderness, but from a wildlife preserve. It's actually kind of a little bit of both, isn't it?
What?
Today, we're getting to the bottom of a very important question. Is M. Night a genius?
What does that have to do with a wildlife preserve? What are you even talking about?
You don't remember The Village, do you? Village was
that was a wildlife preserve?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so that's why nobody went in there? Well, how did they get access to it?
We're going to get there, and we are going to talk spoilers. We're figuring out if M. Night...
Oh, yeah, because if we're going to talk about M. Night, it's nothing but spoilers. Yeah. Because M. Night's... The Shyamalaning at the end of all of the M. Nights is nothing but spoilers. So, like, literally nobody should listen to this if they haven't watched all the M. Nights. Unless they hate him and don't plan on watching any of them, and then that's fine, too, I suppose. But you shouldn't hate him. Spoiler alert.
Okay, I don't know about that, Kelly. I don't think he's a genius. He may not be a hack, though. How much do you know about M. Night, early experiences? Did you know that he was born in India, but left 6 weeks after to move to Pennsylvania?
Yeah, because he's actually American. Like, he is an American citizen. He's not a... But yes.
Yes.
He was born in Pondicherry, which is just, like, the most fun name for a place. I love cherries. By the way, bought way too many cherries here. Did a grocery pickup and ordered 3 pounds of cherries, but they interpreted it as 3 bags. And I've made cherry jam, and I've made cherry syrup and cherry topping for
Tillamook ice cream. Talk more about cherries, Kelly.
Just nothing but cherries. Then I was watching Ozark, and I had this question about cherry pits, because cherry pits, that's where, what is it, arsenic or cyanide or something
comes
from.
I'm going to take my headphones
off. But if
you
swallow a cherry pit, it doesn't kill you. So does that mean that your body just can't break it down?
M. Night Shyamalan.
Pondicherry.
That was the worst. If you were in, like, a psychiatric evaluation...
would say, your IQ is off the charts. It's unreadable.
No. They would have just, like, closed the book. Get the straitjacket. It's time to lock her up. This is
that position of a straitjacket, I feel like that'd be okay.
Okay.
Just trying to think about that.
Big fan of swaddling. Okay. Son of two physicians, privileged gentleman, private school, educated, but for some reason came into the film industry and took everyone by storm in 1998 with the film Wide Awake.
Yep.
A calm drama. It's about it's a tale of a 10-year-old boy in a Catholic school who, following the death of his beloved grandfather, embarks on a quest for the meaning of life. This takes the form of making sure not only that heaven exists, but that his grandfather has gone there.
Scott Rosie O'Donnell and Dennis Leary and Julia Stiles. It's a classic.
Is it a classic? Because I
have never seen
this movie.
But the other two that he wrote, okay. Stuart Little and She's All That, those were classics.
Wait. He wrote Stuart Little, huh?
Co-wrote, yeah.
Wow, I did like Stuart Little. It's got a Hugh Laurie in it before he was House.
Love a Hugh Laurie. God, that guy's great.
So $6 million
budget.
Do you
know he was in 101 Dalmatians, too? Speaking of which, have you seen Cruella?
No, and we got to focus on this. There's a lot of M.I. to cover. My goodness. Only made $282,000 in the box office. I'm surprised that they ever let him make another film. It was shot in 1995 and not released until 1998. And back then, that's kind of also considering the script was written in 1991.
Oh, well, that's okay. That's fine.
But then things take a darker twist in a positive way for M. Night Shyamalan.
The Sixth Sense.
Holy shit. He was the writer of She's All That, uncredited.
I just told you that. I just said that. She's All That and Stuart Little were classics. You don't listen to me. You tell me I need to focus. You need to focus. Listen to what I'm saying.
If you were me and you said all that stuff about cherries because of some sort of weird half interpretation of his hometown, would you listen to you?
No, it's not a half interpretation. It's actually spelled cherry. C-H-E-R-R-Y is half of the word of his hometown.
Yeah, okay. Well, just saying. Would you listen to you? I like She's All That.
Yes.
Freddie Prinze and Rachel Lee Cook. Are they actually...
You've got a weird thing with Freddie Prinze, you do. You always bring Freddie Prinze up. He was the worst Fred.
Underrated. I think he's a great... Name a better Fred.
A better Fred?
Yeah.
I don't know who the original voice was of Fred, but it was better.
You're talking about Fred in Scooby-Doo? You just assume that everyone, that's the only other friend. Nonstop.
I have a lot to say about the various iterations of Fred.
All right. So he did a rewrite of She's All That. So he didn't even really write it. He just took a crack at the script there.
Well, he was technically the ghostwriter.
Okay. Who's ghostwriter? Okay. Before Unbreakable, 1999, The Sixth Sense, the movie that put him on the map. A huge twist. It birthed the Shyamalan.
Yep. And nothing's ever been the same since.
I don't know. And we are going to talk spoilers. Bruce Willis was a dead man.
He was.
I have very few memories of this movie. It was pretty early on in my spooky film watching.
See, and this hit me at the exact same time that I was falling in love with anything that had a twist ending. Usual Suspects, still.
Never seen it.
I know Kevin Spacey's a dick, but it's still just, like my
just,
favorite movie
just
ever.
Just a dick? not a
yep,
predator?
Yep. Like the twist ending, especially when it's like flashes through all of these previous scenes where you're like, oh, whoa, how did I not notice this?
Kelly, every time we talk about one subject that has to do with M. Night, you fucking go off on another movie or another topic.
I'm just saying that's what happened in The Sixth Sense is like you get this flashback of like
the usual
all of these different times.
Were you talking about this or The Usual Suspects?
Oh, no, I'm talking about, it's the same thing that happened in Usual Suspects,
okay,
but I'm talking
about
Bruce.
I apologize. I take that back.
Okay, good.
The scariest moment in the Sixth Sense for me was when that poor ghost of the cancer child vomits under that blanket with Haley Joel. That freaked me out for some reason. You know I'm not a big vomit guy. But.
Yeah. I mean, I was almost ready to go on a tangent of another movie. Stand By Me. You know that vomit scene?
Never seen it. Anyhow. I don't watch this.
God, it's like the best vomit scene ever.
Gross.
Anyhow, go ahead.
Come on. $40 million budget made, finally, a little bit of money here. $672 million.
Just a little.
People seem to enjoy this movie quite a bit.
Didn't you enjoy it? Are you kidding me?
I think it's fine. I'm telling you, I don't really remember it very well.
Well, you're fucking weird. That's okay, though, because the next one was even better.
Okay, and this is controversial, and I mean,
oh, no, sorry, because this next one was actually Unbreakable and then Signs. Yeah, Unbreakable was good.
Did you see it? I didn't watch Unbreakable.
Yeah, it was, I've got a weird story with Unbreakable.
Is it about the movie?
Yeah, there was a weird, like, I can't even remember the details of it, but there was some weird competition in high school where, like, it was a Valentine's Day competition, and somebody won a date, and I can't remember. Anyhow, I went to go see it with one of the Siminar twins, and I don't remember which one it was. But anyhow,
that's super important to the story.
Yeah, but I remember it was really weird because, like, nerdy high school girl had not been on many dates in her life.
Okay,
and so I was like very distracted and like. It was John because we went to the Mustard Seed. And
does not matter
now, I remember.
Even
yep.
a little.
And I was very confused and didn't like was so nervous that I wasn't paying attention to it. So I actually the reason that I don't think of that as his next movie is because at the time I actually did not register anything about the movie. It was not until I rewatched it like 5 years later.
Because you were so nervous on that date.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It is good. It's just not. It's not. Like, he starts with horror, then he, like, does this side pivot into, like,
I mean, technically started
superhero,
with, like, family
and then he
drama,
pivots back to horror.
Yeah, but, like, he hadn't established himself as a horror person. I think he probably got, like, kind of roped into it by making such an important horror film.
Yeah, but then he pivoted back and embraced it and went Signs.
All right.
Yeah,
but
I'm going to do? I'm going to film the scariest
We're going to talk about Unbreakable for just a little
Brazilian
bit.
Alien ever.
We got to talk about Unbreakable more than you saw it with a friend and didn't remember it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's a superhero film.
I love Samuel L. He's great. Everything he does is good.
I like Bruce.
Very empathetic villain.
Yeah. Maybe he's a good writer. I think that...
maybe he's a good writer?
I don't
even believe what you're trying to do right now.
What do you mean? The whole question is he good or bad? I don't know.
Yeah. It's not even a question is the thing. He's a genius.
He's not a genius. Not in every step of the way. And I think we'll talk about that. But
you know,
I thought Unbreakable to me was a bit of a misstep. And it definitely made less money than The Sixth Sense. But
that's because it was more of a risk. It was a different thing. It was an emotional superhero movie. It was an allegorical tale for good versus bad, and that good versus bad is not as simplistic
as black and white.
The movies would lead you to believe. Yeah,
that makes sense. And I think that that's what made me initially turn it off, because I remember trying to start it when it came out in like 2000, and it didn't grab my attention because it wasn't, maybe I wasn't smart enough then, or I wasn't ready for something that wasn't so, you hear a superhero movie and you think action, and this isn't necessarily that. So, I mean, it does involve a horrific train crash, but yeah.
Okay. God, it's really, I need to go back and watch that again now that we think about that. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of movie that I could see watching with Creature and Pukwudgie, because Pukwudgie, so here's just a case in point. We were at the petting zoo yesterday.
Sure.
There were multiple goats, and there was this one female goat that was very, very sweet and trying to get, like, you go, you know, you get the little bags of food and you can go feed them. And then there was this giant black goat with horns, whom we obviously called Black Phillip.
Black Phillip.
He kept trying to bully the other poor girl goat out of the way. Creature immediately attached to the girl goat and said, "You stop bullying her, Black Phillip." And Pukwudgie was like, "Black Phillip isn't mean. He just doesn't know how to make good choices." And she's trying to be really nice to him.
You have
and
her so in therapy already?
I could watch Unbreakable with them, and I guarantee you Creature would side with the good guy and Puck would side with Samuel L.
Wow. Interesting. So this movie almost didn't happen, though, because his name was attached to Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, which maybe...
Sorcerer's Stone, according to English version.
Oh, okay.
I mean, American version. The Brit version was Philosopher's Stone.
But he had a lot of opportunity.
Can't remember. There's a reason behind that switch. I don't remember what it was.
A lot of opportunity after that, The Sixth Sense, where he got Academy Award nominations, Best Picture, Director, and Original Screenplay. So he almost did Indiana Jones, a fourth Indiana Jones film.
Hmm.
Let's talk about Signs. I saw it with my, it would have been high school at that point. Yeah. So I was in high school. I watched it, not in theaters, when it came out on physical release rental. Physical release rental. Scared the shit out of me.
I'm trying to remember if I saw it in the theaters. I think I saw it in the theaters. I don't remember. I love it, though. Love everything about it. I love Swing Away Meryl. I love...
Okay. You're like Meryl, Joaquin Phoenix. Yeah.
Okay, actually, no, hold on. I'm going to back up. I love everything about it except this idea.
To hear the full episode, subscribe to Friday Screamium at patreon.com/Friday. That's patreon.com/Friday.
You've been listening to an Audio Wall original produced by Byron McCoy. Theme music provided by Cemeteries. For more programs like this, visit audiowool.co.